I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Live for Friday afternoon. We're coming to you live from Orchard Park, right next door to the stadium where the Bills play. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Steve,
oh my God,
can't contain himself. What are you laughing about, man?
You know what I'm laughing about. So we come in every day and we think about what's going on this year. We spend a couple hours talking about it, getting ready, getting the notes of the
arguing,
day, the
topics fighting
of the day, arguing about. Listen, it's hard to do the show at this time of year because there's just nothing going on in the NFL, and free agency is still a week and a half away. The combine's coming up. And, you know, we get guests on stuff, and you reach out to different people around the country to try and get them on and come on and talk about stuff that's relevant. And then every so often, something comes up late. Last week it was the, Antonio Brown thing when he comes out what was it last week? It was Monday or something that dropped right in our lap, just coming on the air.
I can't remember.
Right. So every so often a topic drops out that happens. And lo and behold, an unbelievable story comes out of Jupiter, Florida. I mean, 5 minutes ago. Should I just say it?
Sure.
The owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, is facing charges in Jupiter, Florida over solicitation of prostitution in a sting operation at a day spa called Orchids Day Spa in Florida. And his name, along with a list of other guys that we don't know, are facing charges for sex trafficking. It is unbelievable. One of the most respected owners in the NFL is in the midst of this, and it just explodes your mind because you always thought that. Let me just remind people, Jerry. Now I can't remember the former owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Richardson.
Jerry Richardson was forced to sell the Carolina Panthers over sexual misconduct inside the building. It will be incredibly unbelievable if Robert Kraft is asked to do the same thing with the New England Patriots after all the things he's done with that franchise, where it was before he bought it, the 6 world championships, the role that he has played at the highest levels of the National Football League, his relationship with Roger Goodell, although it's been a roller coaster at times because of Deflategate and Spygate and all of those things that happen. Isn't this more egregious than
yes.
what they forced Jerry Richardson to sell the Carolina Panthers for?
You asking me? Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
It is.
At first glance, it obviously is.
Yeah, not guilty yet. We should say that.
He's
but
not
the
guilty.
The police chief in Jupiter, Florida, said Bob Kraft, among individuals caught at a spa, charged with soliciting another to commit prostitution. He owns property in the Palm Beach, Florida area, 77 years old. The sheriff said earlier this week about 100 men would be arrested. His quote, "The tentacles of this go from here to New York to China, in Florida from here to Orange County. I think it's very safe to say without a hyperbole that this is the tip of the iceberg." But Bob Kraft caught up in this, charged with soliciting another to commit prostitution. You're asking me, is this more serious than Jerry Richardson's inappropriate conduct at work? It seems to me it is. Again, he is not proven to be guilty yet. He's presumed innocent. But
we have no idea what it means, whether he's – yeah, whatever it means. Certainly it doesn't appear that he's part of the ringleaders. It appears
to
me he's one of the guys. I don't know. It could go.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about it's going to be a very wide net, whether he's one of the small fish in it or whatever. But, man, oh, man, is this not – it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bob Kraft. And it was a sting. There's video evidence of all of this from what they say. And this is all through Twitter from – all of these sources, but it does come from ABC News is in the loop now. Well, CNBC is in it. They're picking up on all these news outlets. This isn't even sports stuff. This is now news.
The police chief in Jupiter, Florida, is talking about it. So it's not even a media report. The police chief says that Kraft is one of 25 men being charged with soliciting another to commit prostitution. He confirmed there's video evidence of all the men being charged. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Here in Buffalo, one of the news outlets is saying he's going to be charged with two counts.
Well, how the hell would they in Buffalo know? Who's there in Buffalo?
They're reporting from, I'll tell you, Channel 2.
Oh. All over the story in Florida, Jupiter, Florida, I guess.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what to think. I mean, your initial reaction, you come out of the air laughing, and it's just like, whoa, it's one of those things you cannot believe. It's like, really? Bob Kraft? And you said, I think, at the top, one of the most respected owners? Yeah, he probably is. He's one of the, top two or three owners in terms of stature around the league, Bob Kraft, because of the Patriots' success on the field. It seems like even with the Deflategate dust-up with the commissioner, those two have mended fences and are back on the same page. But we'll have to wait and see how this plays out again. Charged, no convictions, obviously, yet. No guilty plea, and he is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But, man, it's a stunner.
According to Tampa's WPEC, Danielle Waugh, there will be a warrant for Kraft's arrest. Wow. And as we just said, I don't want to get into the specifics of how this is going to affect him and his family. Obviously, it's a shocker and a stunner for everybody. But for in the wider circle, for us out here on the fringes of an industry he's deeply involved in, other owners have been forced to sell their franchises for what you and I think is something of this nature.
For what? Other owners have been forced to
sell their franchises for other, like Jerry Richardson was forced to sell his franchise in Carolina, the Panthers, for sexual misconduct in the workplace. To me, I mean, this guy's getting arrested.
Yeah, this is more serious.
Yeah.
I don't know where it goes from here. I mean, right? We'll have to let the legalities play out. I'm sure Kraft, I would guess, would fight the charges, deny the charges. We'll see if that works out for him. But, I don't know. We await the obligatory statement from the league. We are aware of the allegations and are investigating, right? That's what they say every time a player gets, caught jaywalking, right? We are aware of the charges and we're looking into it. Our investigation is continuing. That's about all the league can say.
It's a massive net that they have cast, and they are catching everybody involved. So it's one of, as you said, there's dozens and dozens of names and dozens of arrests that are being made at this, and Robert Kraft is the most prominent one that we know of.
This is the next hour. This is tailor made for Twitter, right?
Gosh! Bowen,
who's a longtime veteran sports writer in Philadelphia. And this is a classic sports reporter take. Somewhere, he writes on Twitter, somewhere a Patriots beat writer looking forward to his weekend off just opened Twitter and said, blank me. Right? That's like one reaction, like, oh, now I got to work. Now I got to get on this. Crazy, though. It is crazy. Stunning.
Yeah, it is.
Just happened. What, 5 minutes before we went on the air?
We were picking up our computers and our papers and come in here ready for the show. And it's like, what? At first, like always, it's like, come on, it's a hoax. It's some idiot troller on Twitter. But no.
Nuts.
No. It is nuts. It kind of makes our Twitter poll about quarterback leadership moot, doesn't it?
It really
it's
does.
It's a moot point. Oh, my gosh.
We'll take your phone calls if you want to talk about
Bob Kraft.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what.
The snark is hip deep already.
I mean, look, let's say this right at the top. We're in Buffalo, right? We don't like the Patriots. We despise the Patriots. Right? Remember our Super Bowl poll about all that stuff? And this will play into that in Buffalo. The jokes are flying already about the Patriot way and all that stuff. This is a real thing. I mean, he's charged with a crime. Two counts, it says, as the reports start to trickle out. Two counts of soliciting prostitution. So it's for real. It's not just a rumor. It's not just a report. The police chief in Jupiter, Florida, is talking about it. I don't know how he gets out of it. I mean, they were asking me on the way in here in the control room, how will he get out of it? I don't know. How do you get out of that? I mean, found not guilty, I guess, if he's not guilty. But if there's something there, right, if he's charged and there's video evidence, how do you get out of that?
And you think back to when you're growing up, you know, as a kid or whatever, and this stuff never came out like this, but this is – this isn't even a blip on the radar, you know, back in the 1950s and 60s, 70s. But in this day and age, you don't sweep this under the rug. I mean, this breaks with a splash all the way across the continent. You can't, like, make it like it never happened now.
Yeah, it's not Pearl Harbor Day here, but I know what you mean.
You know
in
what I mean?
In the sports world, it's big.
It's
arguably,
oh
maybe he, Jerry Jones, who are the most – preeminent owners in the NFL.
He's it.
Bob Kraft, Jerry Jones. Who else would be in that conversation? Nobody.
Nobody.
Is there? I mean,
Dan Snyder, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lurie, the Eagles. The NFC's got.
They're like
the Maras, Wellington Maras, maybe the Steelers, the Rooneys, maybe. But
if you stop 100 people on the street and say, "Give me a name of an NFL owner."
Robert Kraft wins.
Bob Kraft or Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones probably wins, but Robert Kraft's right there.
Yeah. And he's presumed innocent. We know that. But the league is going to have to do something, right? Do they put him on the commissioner's exempt list? Right? An owner on the commissioner's exempt list? That's what they do when players are in trouble.
What is going on? You know, you want to – listen. And on a serious note, we always thought it would be Bill Belichick or Tom Brady – that would end that dynasty.
Does this end it? How does that impact what goes on the field?
I think that at the very least, Robert Kraft has to step away from the team and his son may take over. Right?
Yeah,
at the very least.
That's good thinking.
At the very least.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
We're trying to recover from that shot.
Man,
that's
a grenade in the middle of your day. I mean, that just like that changes everything. I mean, it's like a trip to the emergency room. It is, right?
In what way? What do you mean?
Everything
for you
centers
or for
like you, yeah, you got to take your, you go to the emergency room. Your whole day centers around that for the rest of the day. I mean, nothing else, you know.
Oh man, Bob Kraft,
like
Patriots
that's
owner.
That's like stitches from bumping your head. You got to go in and get that done.
Charged with soliciting a prostitute in the Orchids of Asia Day Spa raid in Jupiter, Florida. Jupiter Police Department says they have video. All right. Okay. We move on, I guess, for now. But we can talk about that. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to weigh in on that, go ahead. We'll get to our show topic in a moment, but you can talk about anything. It is Friday here, and what's been a long week, Steve, where much of our content has centered on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now it'll switch over to the New England Patriots, and a week that kind of winds down with the Sabres playing better but still coming up with a loss. You watched it. I did not. Give me your capsule recount of Buffalo's loss last night.
Oh, my gosh. They played okay. They had some moments. They, you know, the first goal that the Lightning got was, Bogosian coming down the slot. I thought he was going to catch the pass and finish it and go. And instead – he stumbles somehow. It doesn't. I don't know what the pass looked okay to me. I don't know, but it ends up in a 2-on-1. They come down and they have no chance. Kucherov puts it in the back of the net, and it's 1-1. And then it's like, oh gosh. But we did get him to overtime. We got a point out of it. In overtime, we had puck possession for a good part of it. We didn't really generate very many chances in overtime. And the shootout, I mean, forget it. I mean, those guys, they crushed us. Carter Hutton played really well. In the game, I thought he played really well, even in overtime. And the shootout, I mean, they had a couple of guys that were just really good, but so they got us. But I thought Carter Hutton played really well in the game. The team played really well, but it's like I told you, this is why I'm kind of still in on the team. They're competitive every game, but there's something missing. They don't know how to finish games like that. Now, certainly the Tampa Bay Lightning's a different animal. They lead the league in every important offensive category. They're really good. And you figure, wow, you know, going in, it was a game we shouldn't have won.
Right.
But that's why this team's, for the Sabres, is still kind of intriguing to me. There's something in there. They've got a big engine when they get it going. They got some guys that can go. But there's some genetic thing missing in this team that causes them not to be able to finish, to flop. at the inopportune moment, not to, you know, the last 3 minutes, or there's moments in the game where they just kind of go off the air, and all of a sudden 2 minutes later they've let in three goals. Something's missing with this team. Last night was an indication of what kind of is right with the team. They've got an engine that can go, that can run with people. They just can't finish the race, and I think that's where you got to start looking at the management and the coaches and saying, okay, what do you see? Identify it and fix it, and do what it takes.
In a hurry.
Yeah, and I don't know what that's going to be.
Right away.
Yeah, and I don't know if they can do it this year. I don't know if it is a tweak at the trade deadline. I don't know if it is addition by subtraction the way it was last year when they let guys like Ryan O'Reilly and the goalie go. You let those guys go because they have some issues that drag the other guys in the locker room down. Whatever it is, it's your job. Identify what's the problem, fix it, and I want to see some results. I don't know how long it's going to take. I'd rather not have to go through another offseason like this, another lottery.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, we're not in that state now, but good grief.
Yeah.
Do something.
Hey, we got a pretty good show. We're talking about quarterbacks today. We talk about quarterbacks a lot. A lot of this discussion today came about as a result of what went on in Pittsburgh this week. And the strong, maybe too strong, backing of Ben Roethlisberger by Kevin Colbert, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. At any rate, a good guest coming up at 1 o'clock. We have Rich Gannon, buddy of yours, right? You work with him on his crew. You're on the same CBS crew.
Rich is really good analyst, fun to work with. I love being on his crew, and he's a grinder. He'll give you he doesn't pull any punches. He's a former MVP of the league, and it'll be interesting to run this by him, this Ben Roethlisberger stuff by him.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy who was a 5 a.m. show up, has the keys to the building, lets himself in, starts grinding away, and expects his teammates to, you know, follow that. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say about Ben Roethlisberger.
17 years in the league as a quarterback, NFL MVP in 2002. Rich Gannon of the NFL on CBS joining us at 1 o'clock today to talk about Roethlisberger and to talk about really our topic of the day, which is about quarterbacks. We were talking about Roethlisberger and what the GM's defense – not that he didn't need defense, but just the GM's backing of Roethlisberger meant – and it got us onto the topic of quarterback leadership. And that's kind of what our topic of the day is. What type of leader do you want as your quarterback in the NFL? What are you looking for in terms of leadership style, leadership, the leadership that a quarterback puts forth? What are you looking for?
Yeah.
That's our Twitter poll. What type of leader do you want at quarterback, and how important is leadership at that position? Well, to the second question, I would say, duh, it's critically important. The first one I think is worth discussing. But let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send it in via Twitter at OneBillsLive. We may read your tweet on the air. We can discuss on the telephone line. What type of leader do you want in your quarterback? You can refer to Josh Allen. You can go to the Roethlisberger example, Tom Brady, different leadership styles. I do think leadership is critical. And this is why I struggle with this question a little bit, Steve. I think whatever you can get leadership-wise, I would take. One of the questions we talked about in the other room is, what would you rather have, ability or leadership? And I didn't think about it long, did I? I said ability. You've got to have a guy who can play. You're great if he's a leader, but you've got to be able to play the position, and then leadership comes after that. I'd rather have ability first.
Absolutely. You've got to have a guy who can play quarterback first. But here's some instances where you've seen guys like Joe Flacco. Really got it done, but he was on a team in Baltimore, particularly when they won the Super Bowl. And years, he was not the leader of the team. Ray Lewis was the leader of the team. Joe Flacco doesn't have the personality to go out and lead a team, to be the guy that's in the huddle, the team huddle, and saying, "Hey, let's go get." He's not a fiery guy. He's more of a flatline guy. Aaron Rodgers, not the kind of guy who goes in and is a rah-rah type of guy. He is more of a He's a player. I mean, there's no question. He's an elite player. Joe Flacco throws the football really well and has won a Super Bowl. But neither one of those guys are the rah-rah type of leader. Look at down in New Orleans. How many times have we seen Drew Brees be the center of attention down there, telling his guys, "Let's go. I'm with you. Follow me. Join me. Be my guys. Let's go." He seems to thrive on that. Every quarterback you can think of, Russell Wilson, is a guy who you don't see him in the middle of that huddle, but he is a guy they rally around. He's a great teammate. The guys like to play with him and for him. Eli Manning is not one of those guys who is a great, big, dynamic leader. He's a flatline guy, but he's a dependable, steady, same guy all the time. He's won two Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger, now we're getting out, he is not well-liked in his locker room. He's a guy that is above it all. You don't approach him. You don't question him. that's something that's hard to live with as a player, and you can only take it for so long. Antonio Brown's had enough.
He can't take any
more. He's done. The guy I played with and some older fans here in Buffalo will remember, it's been 20-plus years ago that Jim Kelly was here. He was the consummate leader. He was a fiery competitor, but he was also a guy that loved his teammates. And if it was Jim's fault, he would say, "God, that was my bad. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Let's do better. Help me out." He was the ultimate leader, the ultimate teammate, the ultimate brother, the ultimate competitor.
Let me ask you this.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot.
Was Jim always like that?
Now, he had some he learned it. He knew it was important. He was intelligent enough, and he had self-awareness enough. When he first got to Buffalo, there's no question, he was a rock star, and I've said it before on the show. He was a guy that rolled into town with a celebrity and a posse and an entourage and all of that. And he had some growing pains to go through. But he was never one not to take responsibility. Now, early in his career, he got that reputation because, indeed, early in his career here in Buffalo, it wasn't his fault. The team stunk. They were 2-14, 2-14, and they were 1-8 before they hired Marv Levy. Jim didn't have much help, and Bruce Smith knew it the same thing. Bruce recognized the same thing, too. They didn't have any help. It wasn't a team they wanted to be on. The team stunk around him. But as Andre Reed developed, and they drafted Thurman Thomas in 1988, they got Cornelius Bennett midway through 1987, all of a sudden they did get some help. They had Shane Conlon on the team. They had some guys that were, the offensive line started to get better. Howard Ballard got drafted. Kent Hull developed into a great center. Will Wolford, all these guys. Daryl Talley started to get some help on his side and started to exert his prowess. So they started to get better, and then Jim did take blame for when it was his fault. He did become a better teammate. And that's what you see in these guys. They're all their own guy. You can't be anybody but yourself. And the problem is playing the most important position in football. They got to find a way to get the other guys on the team to play as well as they can play too. And some of these guys use different techniques that aren't as effective.
Yeah, Roethlisberger's – I want to get deeper into Roethlisberger as the show goes along because – there was a part of me, and look, I don't endorse what Antonio Brown did, but I get it when he complains about the guy thinks he's an owner the way he deals with us. I understand that. I do understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
I understand what he's talking about, but there's a better way to do it, obviously, than quit on your team at the end. We'll talk more about that. We got a lot to talk about all of a sudden, including Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, charged with two counts of soliciting prostitution. You may have thoughts on that. Call here from Corey in Buffalo. Hello, Corey. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Corey, are you there? Nope.
No, Corey.
He's not. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Back to Kraft for a minute here, Bob. Steve, you're not Bob. What? look, it's a black mark, and again, we are presuming innocence here. I get that, and we will. They claim they have video evidence. They claim there are two counts. Okay. We adhere to the presumption of innocence for Bob Kraft. However, this is a black mark on the league and certainly a black mark on the Patriots, who loved this past year to play the card that they were counted out, that they're disliked, that people don't like them and they don't support them. This is one of the reasons why, really, quite frankly. You have the long trail of Patriots allegations about Spygate, about Deflategate. You have the long trail about other things. You talked about it during Super Bowl week. The suspicion that surrounds them, this makes that worse. This, people say six Super Bowls, but a tarnished legacy. This absolutely kills their legacy, I think, right? When the owner is charged with a tawdry charge like this, this absolutely kills whatever their historical legacy might be.
And it's creepy, too, because the reports are coming out from accredited media members that it was trafficking, it was human trafficking. And these women were brought to the U.S. under the guise that they were having legitimate jobs, and then they were held virtual prisoners by whoever's running this day spa or whatever, and however many facilities they have. There are hundreds of people involved, and Robert Kraft is mentioned in it, and it's ugly. It is really ugly, and it is not going to go well for anybody involved in this. It doesn't look like, and it's really horrific when you start to read the details of how this was all going down. It was a big, wide sting operation. They've got video evidence of all of it. It's been ongoing for quite some time. And now they sprung the trap this morning, and these guys are being brought up on charges. And deservedly so, it sounds like.
Makes me wonder. I mean, I don't normally care about big stories like this, but it makes you wonder who else could be involved, right? If Bob Kraft, prominent as he is, wealthy as he is, gets caught up in a sting operation like this, are there others? Are his friends maybe prominent or not? Are there other major figures in that part of Florida who are going to get caught up in this? What did they say, 100 arrests?
Actually, right now it says 25 people 25? Are charged, yeah, according to the police. But there have been reports that, it's wide-ranging.
Crazy. We'll talk more about that. We'll take a break. If you'd like to talk about the Bob Kraft situation, we don't know much about it, but we're willing to entertain your thoughts. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Maybe you want to weigh in on our topic of the day. What type of leader do you want in a quarterback, and how important is being a leader at that position? Give us a call. You can tweet in your response as well. We could read it from the tweet sheet. Just getting rolling. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive here on a Friday afternoon. This started out Friday morning. This started out quiet, and then the news from Florida. Patriots owner Bob Kraft charged with misdemeanor. That's important. I didn't know that. Misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution. Police in Jupiter say they have videotape of him paying for a sex act inside a massage parlor. Okay. We're talking about leadership as well on at the quarterback spot. We're going to talk with Rich Gannon about it coming up at 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Field Yates, NFL reporter from ESPN. He'll be joining us. In the meantime, leadership at the quarterback spot. What type of leader do you want in a quarterback? Let's talk about Roethlisberger for a second here, Stevie. May I? Kevin Colbert, you all right with that?
Yep.
The Kevin Colbert thing, and this came up 2 days ago, and I didn't realize this, and I read a little bit more on it today. Colbert was not asked about Antonio Brown's comments about Roethlisberger. He brought it up. Ed Bouchette, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he brought it up. A 30-minute interview. And Kevin Colbert was assertive, Bouchette says, when he spoke about Ben Roethlisberger. The general manager, unprompted by the media interviewing him Wednesday, confronted the speculation. The quote, Ben Roethlisberger is unquestionably the leader of the team, not just by my standards, by the standards the team recognizes. He was called having an owner's mentality. Antonio Brown said Roethlisberger can call out anybody, including coaches. Colbert, the GM, said Roethlisberger is our only Super Bowl winner. As the quarterback and as a Super Bowl participant, it's a big burden for him. We've talked about it. A tremendous weight for him to have to carry that week in and week out. He's a Hall of Fame, potential Hall of Fame quarterback. And he also, I can't find the quote, but he also referred to the rest of them is kind of children, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got 52 kids.
52 kids?
Yeah.
It bothers me, I got to say. Roethlisberger is the leader. Everybody would acknowledge that. Is the one with the Super Bowl experience. Everybody would have to acknowledge that. And yet to call them 52 children and saying he is the guy you have to follow, I get backing up your quarterback, but I think he may have overstated it, Colbert, a little bit there. A lot, actually. And if I'm one of the other 52, Antonio Brown or not, even if I'm not Antonio Brown, even if I like Roethlisberger, believe in him as a leader, I don't want to be told you're just a follower. You're just a child here. The real man in the room is right over there. I think that goes too far.
You can imagine how that flies.
Yeah, not well.
Not very far at all. That's it speaks to the dysfunction that's in their locker room. And I'll tell you, and I don't want to play both sides of the coin here, Ben Roethlisberger is a great quarterback. But it's sounding more and more like he's a horrible teammate. We all know that his past, he got off to a very rough start in the early part of his career. Forget the football side of it, you know, all the charges that were leveled against him. He had a bad reputation then. It looked like he kind of got better in his personal life, but he's never been accused or attributed as being a great teammate. Certainly nobody's has come out to this level and said he stinks as a teammate and he's got an owner's mentality and all that, all the stuff, the criticism that's been leveled at him now that by Antonio Brown and others who are piling on. He's never been that kind of guy. And now I think it's it speaks to how that type of leadership has warped the inside of that building. A very talented team, didn't get to the playoffs last year, has never been able to get over that hump with Ben Roethlisberger as the most notable guy on that team. And back in the day when he was winning Super Bowls, he wasn't the lead dog in that pack. It was guys like James Harrison, Larry Foote, guys like that who were really the guys who said, this is how we're doing it, this is the way our team works, this is it. And as a result, Ben Roethlisberger was joined into that. But as he became more prominent and the quarterback and all that stuff that goes with it, it's obvious he flexed his muscles politically inside that building in a way that was detrimental to its success and to the success of the team. You've seen guys leave that place, James Harrison, and now Le'Veon Bell, Martavius Bryant, and Antonio Brown. There's a couple of handful of guys there that it didn't end well for them, and more than one of them is pointing to Ben as being the reason.
You know, so my first reaction was when Kevin Colbert went a lot too far in his discussion about Roethlisberger, and then I got thinking, well, what choice did he have? You know what I mean? If you're the GM of that team, which they're trying to keep it together, you can almost see the Steelers kind of, you know, keeping their arms around everything. This is spinning out of control.
They're trying to
keep
everything.
Looking at it saying, my best course here is to keep Ben, you know, with us. Keep Ben, let Roethlisberger know that he is our guy. He is our leader, to back him up strongly. It's probably the best. I mean, I'm sure, and the Steelers are pretty smart. They think about all those things. I'm sure they thought that through and said, our best bet here is to take whatever hits we might take and wrap our arms around Ben Roethlisberger moving forward, because he is the most stable guy we have and the most experienced guy we have. So I don't know. I guess my point is, I don't know what else Kevin Colbert could have done. You don't want him to agree with Antonio Brown and say, yeah, we got to straighten out this leadership thing. We got to make sure that nobody – what would it have been if he had agreed even mildly with Antonio Brown and said, yeah, we can't have one guy acting like the owner. We got to straighten this out. All of a sudden, you've cut the floor out from underneath your most important player. He can't do that as the general manager of that team, right?
That's exactly right.
It's a tough place to be in.
It is tough.
Now, by the way, I don't feel sorry for the Steelers. They've had they've got a head coach who certainly has a role to play here, and I think he's been kind of missing in action.
Ben's a hard child.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a difficult guy
to
deal with.
He's a difficult guy to deal with.
He has been right out of the box.
And he always. And they've always. Remember, he crashed his
yeah.
motorcycle with Cowher as the head coach, and he's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, they had to bring him in. He got sent to the principal's office a couple of times over the course of his early career. And, you know, here's the thing. He is a truly great quarterback. This ain't Ryan Tannehill we're talking about.
Right.
This isn't Jake Locker we're talking about.
Then you don't care whether they feel like the leader.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, one of these guys that is a this guy is a great football player, and it is in a group dynamic that is a football team, it's hard to keep him in check, because you can't bench him or you're going to lose. You got to find a way to reprimand him that doesn't make him feel like, and with all of his baggage that he brings to the table, that it doesn't make him go in the tank.
You can't embarrass him.
You can't embarrass
him. Or you're going to lose him. You know what I mean?
Plus, here's the thing. If you bring him into the principal's office and to the coach's office in private and say, listen, we got to change some things. You got to start doing A, B, and C. And he says, no, I'm not doing that. That's not who I want to be. I don't want to do that. It's too much work. I'm having a hard enough time just playing good football. I'm not going the extra mile for these guys. Tell them to shape up and do what I tell them to do. What are you going to do?
Right.
It's hard. It's a hard thing. And that's these guys are hard to find.
Yeah.
They're hard. Look, ask everybody except them how hard it is to find Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where those guys are. You got to find them. And you got to cultivate them. You got to hope that once they become these superstar rock stars that you can live with them. That's where they're at with Ben.
Yep. Type of leader do you want in a quarterback? Give us a call. We'll discuss. Clayton on the line from Alfred, New York. Hello, Clayton. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Really what I look for in a quarterback are the guys that are really willing to do what it takes to win games and having that willingness to put it all on the line to win football. But you also look for the guys that never have too highs, too much of a high or too much of a low, where they don't get too confident, but at the same time they don't lose confidence in themselves, where if they throw an interception on a drive and they can't come back from it, and they're in their own head the rest of the game, and they're not worried about playing football.
Clayton, let me ask you this. Give me an example of a quarterback who's got the great personality for that, but has, and then another guy who's got like the minimum physical abilities that you got to have for that. You know what I mean? Give me two different guys that, if you mixed them together, they'd be a perfect quarterback.
I mean, I know it's kind of setting the bar high, but probably Brady and Foles.
Nick Foles and Tom Brady? Brady being the guy with the ability?
Brady being the guy with the arm and the mental ability, and then Foles where he's kind of even-keeled the entire game, no matter what.
I got you.
Whether he makes, you know what I mean, he makes the play, right, or if he doesn't make the play, he'll come.
Who has the, Clayton, who has the minimum requirement of physical, like the arm strength and the athleticism? What's the least guy in the league that could possibly be a great enough leader to win games? That's a great question.
It's a tough question.
It's right, because they all have something.
Let me get to this question, right? Who has the least amount of ability but the most amount of leadership that would
that you could win a Super Bowl with?
Ooh. Wow.
That you can win a Super Bowl with?
Yeah. I mean that's the object,
say,
right?
Trent Dilfer, right? Everybody's go-to guy for how'd this guy win a Super Bowl, right?
Well, yeah, but who's there now? I mean, give me a guy. I mean, who has the weakest arm that could possibly win a Super Bowl? Peyton Manning did it, and he couldn't throw the ball 15 yards.
That's a good answer.
You know?
That was on the back end of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but he still did it. I mean, they still had a really great defense, and they won a game, and he was the guy that really was the offensive coordinator. He had all those leadership skills and all the knowledge, but he couldn't push the ball 25 yards down the field without throwing it in, like, a rainbow. So they did it.
Right.
But think back here, and this guy we all know and everybody knows and loves as Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who's got all the great leadership, all the stuff, but he doesn't, you know, he can't get it done.
You're not going to win a championship.
You're not going to win Fitz. A championship with Fitz.
You're not going to win.
And we love him, right?
Right, right. You're right.
Where's the balance struck? So you know, that's the real question. It's how much can one overcome the other? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're looking at more of a game management type person than overcome those inabilities and their own physical traits and the things that set them aside. Those
right.
Game managers, I mean, we don't really see game managers win many Super Bowls anymore.
Yeah, yep. You can say what anymore. You can say it about it, like Trent Dilfer, he did it. And at this point, you could almost say that Joe Flacco did it. You know?
He had a strong arm. He
can throw it, but he can't run. And he's not a leader. He's not a leader at all. He's a flatline guy who doesn't speak up at all.
Yeah,
you know that's one of his criticisms. You know,
We're trying to drill down on this. What type of leader do you want in your quarterback? And the second part of the question: how important is being a leader at that position? I kind of scoffed at that a couple of minutes ago because, of course, it is, right? I mean, you can't just be you can't be a follower. Yeah, I'll play quarterback. Sure. What do you guys want to do? Yeah, I'll do. Right? There's no viable scenario. Well, I don't know. You tell me. Is Flacco that guy? No.
I think not completely, but he tends that way. You know what I mean? That's his downfall. His inability to go in the huddle and instill confidence in those guys. He calls the play in 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, no timeouts, and you need a field goal to win. He calls those plays just like he did in the first quarter. No urgency. You know, the urgency's not there. The emotion's not there. The, hey, let's do this together is not there. You know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When you're down 15 – and it's start of the second half, you need a guy that says, hey, let's go. Here's the play. Let's, you know, and you need that, you know. When you're going into the first series of a Super Bowl and you got to peel guys off the ceiling because they're sky high, you need Joe Flacco to go in there and say, hey, here it is. Red right 23, burst right, Y cross. Let's go. You know, that you need kind of that guy.
Sure.
There's a place for all of that. And Joe Flacco was in the right spot at the right time with Ray Lewis in the ascension of his career, at the end of his career, where he has all that swag going on, where he's such a leader and such a rallying point, you know, the quarterback could stay back and do what he needed
sure.
to do.
What type of leader do you want in your quarterback? That's what we're discussing today. We come back, we'll give you the latest, what we know about the Bob Kraft situation, and take some more of your phone calls, read some tweets. Come on back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, the boat show going on the other side of the room. We just go to the men's room and we're boom, hit by boats. It's amazing.
It just opened at noon today, and it there's a ton of. Yesterday, the place was an anthill. Yeah, there were people everywhere. Yesterday. Now it's a little.
Now they're charging.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
is that how
I just asked. I said, "Where is everybody?" He said, "Well, today it's not free, but it's pretty cool. There's a million boats out there.
Not free.
All right, so the,
not a million either.
The news of the day: police in Jupiter, Florida, have charged Patriots owner Bob Kraft with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution. They say they have videotape of him paying for a sex act. Inside an illegal massage parlor. Kraft, 77 years old, has not been arrested. A warrant will be issued, the authorities say, and attorneys will be notified. In a statement, a spokesman for Bob Kraft said they, quote, categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. Because it is a judicial matter, we will not be commenting further. Amazing. We don't know what else to say about it. We don't know much about it. So we're going to stick to our topic of the day. What type of leader do you want in your quarterback? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Phone line's open for that. And the tweet sheet, tweets are open as well. Phil Gibson tweets this, and I like a lot that Josh Allen brings in time, maybe Kelly's swagger. I'd like Frank Reich's never-say-die spirit. Maybe Brett Favre's draw up in the sand football gene. He just knows how to play the game. I don't know if I want him drawing up plays in the sand like Brett Favre.
Yeah,
I don't know. Was Brett Favre a great leader? What do you think, Steve?
I know guys like playing with him.
Yeah,
it's
good guy, no question.
Don Beebe played with him, and Don's talked about him, and they all listen. All of us have our issues that we all deal with that our friends kind of let slide. So every quarterback's the same way. I mean,
right.
Everybody's got shortcomings that you know. We all say that's just the way he is. You know. But yeah, I think Brett Favre was. I think that's one of the reasons he was so successful for so long. Guys rallied to him. He was a guy who came across as being a real battler, you know, and was willing to do anything to win, try any crazy thing, run, pass, whatever. He seemed unselfish, and that's a big thing when a quarterback is willing to turn around and hand it off as much as he is to throw it, give everybody a chance to do what they do best. You know, I think Brett Favre falls into that category. I've not heard anything but really good stuff about him as a leader on the football field.
Kelly's swagger, you know, you probably have heard me say this. I defy people to define swagger for me, but we're not going to get into that right here. I don't think – I do. What do you mean swagger? I will say this. One of the early impressions I got of Josh Allen, and today's question is not just about Josh Allen, obviously, but one of the earliest impressions I got was how competitive he is. I would argue that if that's swagger, his competitiveness, I think, stands out at first. Before I even really saw him play in a meaningful game, I thought, wow, that guy likes to play and likes to win. And I think that's a good sign. That's an element of leadership, right? I'm so competitive, I want to crush you. I want to beat you in ping pong. I want to beat you in locker room foosball. And I want to beat whoever I'm playing on the football field. I love that about Josh Allen. And I think I saw that early on.
I agree.
But that's leadership, too.
It is leadership. It's part of leadership. It's part of what makes him who he is. Leadership is getting guys to join him. That's what leadership is. It's not about getting guys to – like Ben Roethlisberger is of a mind that everybody's got to follow me and do what I say and be my – and do, you know, my bidding. A more effective leadership attitude is like Josh Allen and what my friend Jim Kelly did. Hey, guys, I'm with you. You come join me. We're going to do this together. I'm your guy. I'm going to do everything I can. I've got a lot of, you know, I'm the quarterback. I'm going to do everything I can. Help me out here. Let's go do it together. That's a much more effective attitude in leadership. And he acted that way. He spoke that way. He lived that way. He still does. And Josh seems to be the same way. Seems like he really wants to win really badly. In fact, I think at some point to his detriment, he tries to do it himself, you know, a little too much. I think he tries to make the tough throw all the time. He tries to win the game on every play. And when all you want to do is put yourself one more step closer to winning the game on every play, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think as a young guy, he's got that to learn. But, yeah, I'm totally with you. He has done some phenomenal stuff. I like his attitude. I like his competitiveness. And in a lot of ways, I see nothing but good things about him in that respect.
We're going to talk to Rich Gannon about this topic, longtime NFL quarterback, now with the NFL on CBS. He's coming up next. Come on back. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.